You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 all.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team, every day. This is a daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio, Chavez Ravine Fiends, and I'm back here with Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. Jeff, an extra day without me this weekend. How are you feeling?
It was one day too many, Vince. I missed you.
I believe it. Yeah, that NFL draft was just a one-man show for me at work, so it was kind of draining. But we're back, and the draft is over, so don't have to deal with that anymore.
Should we mention that your Zoom background right now is the Tiger King?
I mean, King.
And even better, the way your head is located, your head is the tiger's head, and just so it's like your head with little tiger ears sticking out. That's so I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah, I can dig it. Not planned, but head placement worked out. The next 2 days, we're going to go through a draft suggested by our pal Brandon Johnson, picking best individual Dodgers seasons, 10 positions, starter, reliever, and all the positions on the field. And you can only pick one per decade and obviously one per position. From the 1920s all the way till now.
And we can't pick the same one.
Correct. So we will be doing that today. And before we do that, a quick reminder to subscribe to Locked On Dodgers, wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car in the morning, or if you're just at home, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, Jeff. So like I said, we're going to span from every decade, from the 1920s to through the 2010s. We get to pick one player / position season per decade. Obviously we can't double up, and we'll just go we could go position by position, but it's not as fun, so we're gonna just have a straight draft. So Jeff, you are on the clock.
Okay, my first pick, and their strategy here, trying to, you know, get the guys I want that I'm afraid you're gonna take, I'm gonna go with Adrian Beltre's 2004 season is my number one pick at third base. I thought it might be, so I wanted to get it before you. Yeah, it's the best season of third baseman by the Dodgers have ever had. Dodgers have had some solid third basemen, but nothing compares to Beltre in 2004.
Yeah, definitely. And other than one other season, there wasn't as many standout seasons in that. So, that's kind of the easy one to go to. So, last time we did something similar to this, my strategy was flawed because I tried to take the worst. Last time we did 2010 through 2019 or whatever we did. And I was trying to get the worst seasons out of the way. But then my team was not stacked. We were well-rounded, but not stacked at the top like yours.
I kicked your butt. That's what you're trying to say.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with the actual top WAR season ever for a Dodger, and that's Jackie Robinson in 1951. 1950s, there's stuff in there, but nothing too crazy. And might as well get the top one out of the way, and we can go from there.
Yeah, that's a really good pick. I'm actually glad you took it, though, because that was, I suspected you would want Jackie in 51, and I wasn't going to take that one because I have somebody different for the 50s, and I have a different season for a second baseman. So my next pick, I think, is going to be Mike Piazza in 1997. I think that's the best season by a Dodgers catcher. And Piazza had a few years you could pick. And so I debated maybe going later with him in the draft because his second best year wasn't that much better, that much worse than his first. But yeah, 1997 Mike Piazza.
Yeah, Piazza, and I feel like Kershaw are kind of the similar, where we're probably gonna both pick the seasons of theirs. It just depended which season we ended up with. But I don't know exactly your strategy, but I would imagine that's your strategy. Yeah. All right. I am going to go. Well, I'm going to solidify the ninth inning in mine, and I'm going to go with probably one of the more dominant seasons ever by a reliever, and I'm going to go with 2003 Eric Gagne. And my stadium is going to be hyped every time the ninth inning comes if the Dodgers have a lead.
Yeah, Gagne is a very good pick. Also not on my board, so I'm feeling good about this so far. You know, I like when we have different approaches. Okay, my next pick, I am going to knock out right field and this most recent decade, and I'm going to go with our MVP, Cody Bellinger, from 2019 for right field.
Ah, so you're not going with the starting pitcher, I thought. All right, well, at least I know I can get anything from that decade now. Okay, last pick before the break. I'm going to get shortstop out of the way. I'm going to get the 60s out of the way. I'm going to go with 1962 Maury Wills. Although it's not the best MVP season by an MVP, it's still a very good MVP season. And we're going to steal a lot of bases and score a lot of runs with Jackie and Maury at the top of my lineup. So that'll do it for the first three rounds of this draft. We'll come back and draft two more picks before we head out for the day. Maybe get a little more expansive into some numbers, since some of these next picks might not be as well-known seasons as our first ones were. But before we do all that, let's real quick talk about Postmates. Postmates, you might have a need for Postmates right now. You might be home a lot more often than you used to. You might not want to go outside and shop. You might want to support a local business, and you can do all that with Postmates. Just download the Postmates app, which is available for iOS or Android, and you can get pretty much anything you want delivered within the hour. So right now, you can get $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. All you have to do is download the Postmates app and use the code LOCKEDON. That's code LOCKEDON for $100 of free delivery credit with the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. And keep it locked on, Dodgers. All right, Jeff. So this week, the theme from the Locked On Network was best moments in Dodgers history. So, Jeff, we'll just go through for these first 2 days. With one of the picks you made so far, what's one moment you remember from one of those seasons? Or maybe don't remember, but a moment that happened.
Yeah, Cody's too easy. Mike Piazza, I don't know if it's specific. Actually, I'm sure it's not from 1997, because 1997 was the only year of my lifetime that I didn't watch any baseball, because that's the year that I spent the entire thing on my mission. But in general, Mike Piazza memories, I remember him coming up, and it was, you know, you'd hear about, oh, he was drafted in the 67th round or whatever it was. He was drafted as a favorite to Tommy Lasorda, his godfather. And you watch him swing, and you could almost understand why, because, like, sometimes if you watch Bo Jackson play, you watch highlights of Bo Jackson, you could tell he wasn't really a baseball player. He was just a freakish athlete. So because of that, he could succeed in anything he did. And Piazza had kind of that same look when he swung. Like, it doesn't look quite like a perfect baseball swing. Like, some guys have just, oh, that's a baseball swing. And Piazza's was almost like he short-armed it looked like. And I can't even describe it, but that's just like my main memory of Mike Piazza, is seeing him and just remembering he hits differently than anybody I've ever seen. And then watching how he would just power these balls over the fence in right center field, going opposite field. And it was opposite field power that I hadn't really seen before. You know, we saw it later, and you see it a lot more now. A lot more guys going oppo, but back then it was kind of a rare thing. A guy with Piazza's opposite field power and just that short little swing, easy power, and then when he was in the home run derby and got shut out because it turned out his swing was not optimized for batting practice, maybe. But it sure was good in the game.
Yeah, the Dodgers didn't have much luck in home run derbies for a long time before Jock and Cody and everyone and Muncy all stepped in and did the job. Mine, I mean, it's we've talked about it a lot before, but it's still a moment. And if you know you want something to do, you can go back and look at old Piazza highlights or go look at the Gagne highlight. To this day, I still think it's the most consistently loud Dodger Stadium has ever been, specifically for one player presence. I mean, those ninth innings were just basically a party once Gagne was coming in. Welcome to the Jungle would start playing, and his, you know, his face and would flash on the scoreboard, and everyone would go crazy. And it was just fun. I, you know, obviously, maybe for some people got tainted later on after kind of what happened with him. But I mean, that's still one of the more fun times I remember being at Dodger Stadium on a consistent basis.
Yeah, absolutely. Gagne was good times.
All right, Jeff. So far you have a third base. You have 2004 Beltre. You have Cody Bellinger in right field from 2019. And you have Mike Piazza behind the plate from 1997. There's a lot of home runs right there. What are you going with your next pick?
My next pick is... Oh, it's a hard one. I'm going with gameplay now. I think I'm going to go with left field, 1985, Pedro Guerrero. He also played some third base that year, but he played more left field, and he fits better in my lineup in left field anyway. Pedro Guerrero, I don't know if you saw, it was going around on Twitter a week or two ago. Somebody had posted the video of a game from 87 or 88 maybe, when Pedro Guerrero got hit by a David Cone pitch after being brushed back a couple times and ended up throwing his bat at David Cone. And I had forgotten what a beast Pedro Guerrero was. You look at him and his physique, like you kind of get in the mindset of anybody who played back then wasn't in as good a shape as the guys who play now. But I mean, I feel like looking at that, Pedro Guerrero, if he took off his shirt, I think he and Puig could have gone head to head physique wise. He just was a monster. And yeah, he was always fun to watch. Pedro Guerrero was always fun to watch, except for, I think it was also 87 or 88 in spring training or early in the season. I can't remember, but he was going into second base and was going to slide and then changed his mind and decided not to slide, but changed his mind too late and ended up tearing up his knee. And that was not fun to watch. And it was kind of the beginning of the end for him. But 1985, Pedro Guerrero was a monster.
What are some of those stats? It might not be a as well-known season as some of the other ones we've had so far.
So, yeah, in 1985, Pedro Guerrero, he batted .320, you know, played most of the season. He only played 137 games, but 581 plate appearances. You know, basically a full season. Batted .320 with a .422 on-base percentage and a .577 slugging percentage. Led the league with a .999 OPS, led the league, the majors with a .182 OPS plus, finished third in the MVP voting, 33 homers. He kind of did everything. He even stole 12 bases that year. And it was, he had an 8-WAR season, and he was even had some defensive value most of his career. In his career, he had a combined negative 12.5 defensive WAR. But he actually had positive defensive WAR that year for actually one of only two times in his career. And he hit like a monster. And just everything about Pedro that year was awesome. And he finished third in the MVP voting. Dave Parker finished second, even though he had a significantly worse season. He had a lot more RBIs, and that's what the voters based it on back then. Willie McGee won it. He was slightly better than Guerrero probably. Dwight Gooden probably should have won it. He was such a monster on the mound that year. But, you know, pitchers didn't win it very often, especially starting pitchers for some reason. Relievers had a better chance of winning the MVP back then. But, yeah, 1985, Pedro Guerrero was a beast.
All right. That's a good one. And I am going – all right, I'm going to take the first one of the back-in-the-day ones, and I'm going to go with – Babe Herman from 1930. He was on when they were the Brooklyn Robins, I believe, still back
then.
What
position is that?
He played right field. That year, he had an OPS plus of 169, which is very good. And the crazy part is that he wasn't even, didn't have any MVP votes or didn't make it on the MVP voting. So But he hit 35 home runs, 130 RBIs, had 48 doubles, 241 hits with this 1.132 OPS. So just a pretty dominant season back in the day, and probably either a name no one's heard of Dodger players, or specifically that season, because I didn't know guys were doing that back then.
Yeah, that's a good choice. I'm looking at my list, and I think I'm going to be able to get everybody on my list, because either you've already picked guys from my decades or from those positions. So I think it doesn't matter what order I pick from here on out. So I guess for my next pick, I'm going to go with, let's go with Jackie Robinson, 1949 at second base. Like you said, 51 was Jackie's best year, but I wanted somebody else from the 50s. And so Jackie Robinson, 49, that was the year he won his MVP, and a great season, his second best year, not much worse than his best year. And if you're getting Jackie Robinson's MVP season with your, fifth pick, I think that's a pretty decent draft.
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad at all. All right, I'm just going to get the old-timers out of the way. I'm going to go with 1920s, and I'm going to go with a left fielder by the name of Zach Wheat. And in 1924 specifically, he had an OPS plus of 163, an OPS of 978, finished third in MVP voting. The power numbers aren't quite the same. He had 14 home runs, but he did have 97 RBIs, 41 doubles, 212 hits, and 566 ABs. So not a bad year, and I'm going to have a very, very old-timey corner outfielders with a guy from the 20s and 30s.
Yeah, that's not bad at all. It seems like our approaches are meshing well. I don't think either of us, I guess maybe me stealing Adrian Beltre from you is the only real steal we've had so far. Good first half of the draft, Vince.
Yeah, good first half. We will be back tomorrow to draft the final five spots of this over the decades draft. Forgot to mention in the first half, but we will mention it now, that the Dodgers over the weekend, the news came, or before the weekend, I don't remember exactly when it was, Vince Scully had a fall in his home, that he was in the hospital, but we did get news over the weekend that he is back at home resting. So thank you to the year 2020 for not completely destroying everything that we love and only slightly injuring it, I guess.
Yeah, I've been sleeping in a lot lately because I'm up late. You know, what else am I going to be doing? And so my morning routine is I get up and I get caught up on Twitter. And Friday morning, I think it was Friday morning, Thursday morning, while I was getting caught up on Twitter, I got a text from my sister, and she said, "Vin's in the hospital?" And my heart just sank. I hadn't gotten to that point on Twitter yet, and my first thought was COVID, obviously, and guys in their 90s, it's scary. And so I was like, it took my breath away. And then I responded to my sister. I'm like, "What?" And she, "Yeah, I just heard on the news he fell in his house." And like, you never think you'll be relieved to hear that a 90-something-year-old man fell and had to be hospitalized. But the fact that it wasn't life-threatening was such a relief to me. And maybe more than is rational. But I don't know. Maybe it is rational. We've spent so much time with Vin over the last, you know, I mean, I was, 39 when he retired? And so, or 40, 2016 was his last year. Yeah. So yeah. I was 39 years old. And so, I mean, I spent, you know, I've probably heard Vin Scully's voice more than anybody's voice I'm not related to in my lifetime. Either him or like, you know, one of the people on Friends, you know, I've heard so much Vin Scully. It's like he's family. And so I was very, very scared until I found out. And then obviously it's still scary and dangerous, but he's home resting now and seems to be in good spirits. And I know we're going to lose him eventually, but I'm not ready for that. And so I selfishly hope that Vin lives to be I don't know, 140, 150, something like that. I don't need him to live forever. I just need him to outlive me.
Yeah, exactly. He was in good spirits when the Dodgers tweeted. I believe he said, I won't be doing any more headfirst sliding. I never liked it. So, you know, classic Vin ways, he still makes us feel better, even though it was something of bad news on his end. But yeah, other than that.
Yeah. One other thing we probably ought to mention is the rumor on Twitter that Puig is close to signing with the Giants. The rumor comes from somebody who's not verified on Twitter and he has 1,400 followers. Looks like he wrote a book about Cuban baseball immigration once, and so he might have some inside sources with Puig.
So he's part of the Baseball Writers Association.
Huh. Yeah, and so it could be legit. That is what it says, huh? Yeah, so it could be legitimate. It says that he's close to signing with the Giants, and they're just waiting for guidance from Major League Baseball on what the season's going to look like before they make the agreement official. Yeah, you have any thoughts? I know we talked a little bit about that last week.
Yeah, we touched on it last week, and for me, it's just obviously I would like him to play somewhere else, not the Giants, but I also would like to see him play, and if getting to see him play 19 times a year is the bright side of looking at him signing with the Giants. And you know, like I said last week, it comes to the point where, you know, he needs to find a job, and well, you know, whether it's with the Giants or with, you know, whoever else it would have been, it doesn't appear that a lot of teams are knocking on his door, so he's got to take what he's offered. And you know, hopefully he, like I said, if as long as he does well and it doesn't affect the Dodgers World Series title championship aspirations, I'm all fine with it.
So if a game at Oracle Park or whatever it's called, the Giants Stadium, Diamondbacks pitcher Madison Bumgarner hits Giants outfielder Yasiel Puig with a pitch, what do Giants fans do?
I got to imagine that they'll still be on Mad Bum's side.
Yeah, it's hard to know.
I know they don't like Puig, and I don't think, you know, that I don't think they legitimately believe they have a chance at being in the playoffs this year. So that might make them a little more apathetic to the situation and side with their guy, Mad Bum, over their actual current player.
Maybe. Yeah, that would really put the rooting for laundry thing to the test because having Puig in your laundry and Bumgarner in somebody else's laundry is a weird thing. It would remind me of when the Dodgers and D-backs had their brawl, and I think I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, Kurt Gibson and Mark McGwire going nose-to-nose and me being on Mark McGwire's side, and it felt so dirty. But, you know, McGwire was wearing the right laundry.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I mean, Kirk Gibson at that time was not universally liked by a lot of Dodger fans, especially like younger crowd who, obviously we've seen the home run, but we don't feel as...
He was just a grumpy old man.
Yeah, at that point. Yeah, so that will do it for today's episode. We will come back tomorrow to finish this draft, and who knows, maybe there'll be some news, maybe not, probably not. But either way, we'll be here. Remember, you can subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts and or Apple if you have it. You can also rate and review us on there. I don't believe we hit 200 ratings yet, but we might be close. We are close, but go ahead and leave us a rating and review if you have the time, which you might have the time right now. If you want to follow us on social media, Twitter and Instagram at LockedOnDodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at SnyDog. I'm at Vince Samperio. If you want to call and leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text, the number is 323-863-LOCK. That's 323-863-5625. Or you can shoot us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
And now tell your smart device to play the latest episode of Locked On MLB. D. We'll talk to you later.
I say D-O, D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles.
Do you think we'll really win the pennant?
Bye!